I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh is being widely praised for her decisive action in removing four Confederate monuments Tuesday night. Filmmaker and activist Elisa Blount Moorhead was a member of the commission charged by Mayor Pugh's predecessor with deciding what to do with the statues. She'll give us her take on whether or not the mayor made the right call. Then, in What You Got Cookin', a conversation about soul food and Southern cuisine. Chef David Thomas is the proprietor of a new restaurant, Ida B's Table. He joins us along with Midday foodies John Shields of Gertrude's Restaurant and Sasha Wohlhammer. Plus, theater critic J. Wynn Russick reviews a new take on the Alice in Wonderland story on stage at the Annapolis Shakespeare Company. That's all coming up on Midday, right after these headlines. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining us for Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Coming up in just a bit, What You Got Cooking with John Shields and Sasha Wohlhandler. Today, we're pleased to welcome Chef David Thomas, who's opening a new restaurant next month named after the civil rights icon Ida B. Wells. We'll be talking about soul food and Southern cuisine just a little later here on Midday. But first, a conversation about the decision by Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh to remove four Confederate monuments late Tuesday night and early Wednesday morning. My guest is the filmmaker and activist Elisa Blount Moorhead, who until last May was the executive director of the Station North Arts and Entertainment District. In September 2015, then-Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake appointed Ms. Moorhead and several other people to a commission to make recommendations about what to do with the four monuments. Elisa Blount Moorhead, it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
So your commission was charged with these very four monuments that that the mayor decided to remove to issue recommendations. You basically, to sum it up quickly, you recommended two of them be removed and two of them have signage added to them.
Right.
What's your take now that the mayor has done what she's done? She's just gotten rid of them.
Right. I guess I have a lot of respect for the mayor and her staff, and I think that anybody who does anything quick in city government is an exciting thing to think about swift action in general. But I also am really thoughtful about how SRB put together that commission.
And that's Stephanie Rawlings Blake,
yes,
who is, of course, is the predecessor to the
yes.
current
mayor. And there were commissioners who also served on the Public Art Commission, and they spend a lot of considered, thoughtful time thinking about public art and work in the public realm. And so, the findings from that commission kind of slipped between, I think, administrations, though I'm sure this administration has also read them and considered them as well. So I think we're probably at a what's next moment with regard to the statues. The other piece of this is that part of our work was to listen to public testimony, and it was tremendous, and it was extremely engaged. And that was both online and in person. And so I sort of looked in the eyes and listened to the voices of people who had very direct interaction with those pieces. And so I wonder what those sort of consequences and what that's going to look like. And
you're a filmmaker, you're a curator, you deal with art in the public space. I mean, were it up to you, what would you have done?
Well, the recommendations that are sort of in print are a little bit amorphous, and it's easier to look at them in sort of in the context of the wider recommendations. What I am really excited about is dialogue, art as expression and dialogue. And so what I was really trying to get across, and I think Aaron Bryant shared a lot of this as well, was that those pieces are dismantled, but racism and inequity in the city is not, right? And what the reason that I think people feel so strongly about this is obviously we are mapping onto these artifacts our real feelings and real understanding of racism in the country. And that doesn't go away whether they're there or not. In fact, those pieces were largely ignored. They're like repositories for bird poop generally until issues like what was happening at that time in Georgia and now in Charlottesville, until those come up. And in fact, taking them away in some cases have been the sort of catalyst for unrest and things like that. So what I really want to see, and I suggested this during the commission, was that they are in place and used as a space that does not let that dialogue off the hook, and in fact is deeply engaged with people, artists, activists, people who work at the intersection of social change and art, that they are there to engage it, and that the city is using programs like Percent for Art and other funding programs to in fact bring artists from this city. For example, I dream about the day someone like a Abdu Ali or Greenspan can do sound installations around those pieces, because then they're activated in a way that matters.
But for that to happen, the pieces would still have to be there.
They would be there. I'm not interested in letting anyone off the hook in terms of our racist past as a country. The bodies that are in question when we're talking about the Confederacy and what Tawney wanted to do, or my ancestors' bodies. I'm happy with confronting that and not eliminating the artifacts from that. What Fred Wilson did here in Baltimore at the Maryland Historical Society,
mining the museum,
was to unearth that and to put it in people's faces. So that's my interest.
Yeah, mining the museum was all about looking at artifacts that had been in the public eye for a long time, but through a different prism, through the prism of the slaves, if it's a picture of the plantation.
Right,
that kind of thing.
Right, and diversity of discourse. I mean, that's what art does.
But of course, with Charlottesville, I mean, your commission was started in 2015. You gave recommendations in 2016.
Yeah.
Then stuff happened and nothing happened. And all of a sudden, now here we are at almost the end of 2017 when they're removed. One of the justifications that the mayor gave was the fact that Charlottesville and other incidents, going back to Dylan Roof at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, made the climate different. And as a matter of public safety, there were people, there's a lot of talk on social media about people planning to tear down the monuments anyway, like last night.
Right.
And the mayor is saying, as a matter of public safety, we need to get rid of them.
Right. And I'm not in the position to question that, because the mayor and city planners and people know better in terms of public safety how the city would work or not work. But what I would say is that in some cases, removal has been a catalyst for problematic behavior, such as Charlottesville. I mean, that initially, from what I understand or what I've read, was a response to an initiative to remove pieces.
Yeah. So the Unite the Right meeting was called to protest the plan to get rid of the Robert E. Lee statue.
Right. And also, too, the idea of this removing some sort of pain that's associated with it is a ruse. The pain and the stress that is induced by, racism is the bark on this country's tree. Okay, so that was the case before the statues, after the statues, and will continue to be the case. And so, a deliberate approach to engaging this discourse, and I am of course biased because I want it to be through art, but there's lots of mechanisms to do that. Is, I think, a rational way to sort of talk about.
Of course, the bases of all of these monuments are still there. And in fact, public art has sprung up just in the last 48 hours since they were removed. I mean, both in terms of graffiti and people placing objects and things on top of the bases.
Yeah.
Would the bases serve as a sort of,
And I don't want, I'm a fan of direct action, particularly when I think about what the young woman in Charlottesville did and youth. Culture in particular is really great at direct action and non-permissional work, and there's a great tradition of that in terms of really moving the needle. But also, again, measured, thoughtful work can also be very radical. And so if you look at programs like the Plinth program in London, where, there's a commissioning process so that you can get work to fill a fifth plinth in Trafalgar Square, is an excellent program. It doesn't mean that we can't also reserve some of the plinths for non-permissional work that is more impromptu in a kind of speaker's corner way.
So you could envision a situation where the kind of responses, the visual responses to these pedestals that were the only things that remain, could change.
Absolutely.
And some of it could be non-permissionable. In other words, the city wouldn't have to, commission an artist to do something on that pedestal. It could just be a space where people could come in and let their thoughts flow.
Yeah, I think a combination, really thinking about the long game. Baltimore is, the home of the Visionary Museum. There are people that are really visionary artists, and some operate outside of what would be a commissioning artist. So, commissioning process. So I would think it would be most equitable to think about how we engage them in both a sort of democratized space That would belong to the city and belong, meaning the citizens of the city. And then another space that would somehow be curated. And when I say curated, I don't mean just art museum curators. I mean people that have a vested interest in art in public space.
This is a conversation that's going to continue, and we will look forward to continuing with you. You know, the next time we take it up, it's certainly something we're going to be talking about tomorrow in our midday news wrap. But it's certainly something that's captured the national attention, not just here in Baltimore. But I appreciate your coming in and sharing your thoughts. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Alisa Blount-Moorhead is the curator focused on art in the public realm and a filmmaker. She's also a partner in Teaneg Studios. She is also an incubator fellow at the Saul Zantz Innovation Fund in Film and Media at Johns Hopkins. She was a member of the city's Public Arts Commission and the commission established in 2015 to study the Confederate monuments in Baltimore City. By the way, we'll have a link to a short film that she directed for Jay-Z called 444 on the Midday website. That is definitely worth a look. This Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture, Dr. K. Wise Whitehead will lead a community discussion called The Long Arm of History, Monuments and Statues Really Do Matter. It's a community conversation. Starts at 2 o'clock at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. We've got a link to details about all that at WIPR.org/midday. Coming up after a quick break, soul food and southern cuisine. Stick around. I'm Tom Hall.
This is 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.